five, six, seven, eight.
Mrs. Mariano.
One of us here is Mrs. Mariano.
And actually, it's not me.
It's neither of us.
It's actually neither of us.
It's actually Jay Mariano, who he ended up marrying.
Yeah, well, she's IRL. Mrs.
Ventimiglia now. That's true. Miss Mariano, if
there
you will.
Is no Mrs. Mariano, but it can be you.
It can be you in your dreams.
If only in your dreams.
All right, here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to No More to Say with Tara and Haley. I'm Tara. This is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara.
What? Why do you look so sad?
Do I look sad?
You look a little sad.
I think I was confused for a second because I feel like you said more words than normal.
Did you? Should we start it again?
No, I think yes.
All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Gilmore to Say with Tara and Haley. I'm Tara. This is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara.
Did that sound better?
The last time I felt like you included an extra word and I don't know what the word is. We'll have to do a run the tape back. Because I just was so confused. I wasn't sad. Tara asked me why I looked sad and I wasn't.
You were just confused.
Yeah.
It's funny because I have started recording my Sex and the City podcast, which is called In Just Like Her. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone to do the intro and I just start. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to... No, that's not my line.
That's not it.
But it was also really hard for me to kind of pivot and try to figure out what the intro was going to be to that. I'm still kind of figuring it out. But yeah, it's not as second nature to me as this one is. So, yeah, hey, maybe I did add a word or two because...
Maybe you did. I don't know. It just sounds... It's like the cadence of it was wrong. It's not that I don't listen to you, but it's more of like the feeling of it.
Yeah.
Like I know where we're at and know when it's time. I've gotten used to it. I know my line now. I know when it comes. But it just like it sounded
different.
We're all
so happy to hear that.
I was like, what is going on?
Interesting. I'm excited to roll it back.
I'm sure you will. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was right. Maybe it was wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm just hearing things. Wouldn't be the first time.
Could be. Who knows? But anyway, I was concerned because you looked a little sad. And we're here to talk about Jess Mariano, which is not a sad thing.
Yeah, that didn't make me sad.
No. In fact, on Patreon the other day, Lauren, our editor, just pulled the clip. Haley said that she was Team Jess.
I did not.
You did.
There
you
was an argument between two people, and one of them was Jess, and I was on Jess's side.
You said, I'm Team Jess here. And I said, pull the clip. I'm going to use it in a court of law.
I recognize how dangerous it was to say that, but I will say in season two, I think I was like Team Jess Light.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember saying that. I will say that.
Yeah.
Because my man had not yet arrived.
Sure. Of course.
He will soon.
He will.
Very soon.
It's
because speaking of teams, Tara is wearing her Team Jess sweatshirt in Pepper, which is my personal favorite. It comes across a little green online.
Does it?
And like the picture.
Oh,
yeah,
does
someone
it?
Mentioned, they were like, is the color of your shirt, because I posted it on Instagram, is it not available? Because there's like the greenish one. And I was like, no, that's Pepper. Pepper looks a little strange.
Yeah, but IRL, it is gray. It's like a dark charcoal gray. And Haley had the brilliant idea to put black on gray because we were kind of thinking of a little black on black situation just to have it be a little subtler. And I love the way that this came out.
I love it so much.
It's really great.
But I posted a series of pictures of me with my Team Logan one, and our editor messaged me and she was like, I cannot wait to get to this scene, which was the okay, put my number, not to talk about Logan here. But I was like, I'm gonna be so annoying next season on Patreon. But
hey, I'm ready for it. I've been bracing myself for it for almost four seasons. So
yeah, we're gonna get there. But in the meantime, we're not there yet.
No, we're here to talk about Jess, which I was thinking to myself, I know I mentioned this last week or on the last episode that we talked about the best of, because we, of course, had Galentine's Day last week. At this point, we haven't recorded it yet. I'm so excited. We haven't done our Gilmore Galentine event. Not that I'm going to advertise for it here, because at this point, it's already past due. But last episode that we did, Best of Boyfriends, we talked about Dean. And I mentioned that I felt like, you know, talking about Jess and Logan in a positive light felt a little on brand for what we already do. But I'm realizing that the episodes where we've talked about Jess Mariano specifically, where the topic of conversation has been Jess Mariano, were romanticizing him, which I don't even remember what we said because at this point it was 2 years ago.
It was quite some time ago.
And his relationship with Luke. And so I feel like we haven't really had any Jess-centered episodes where we just say the things that we love about him. Because also on Patreon, if you guys are joining us on Patreon, I have been pretty critical is probably an intense word, but like I haven't let things slide with Jess. I'm like, hey, you fucked up here. And I don't think I've ever really been that way. I'm very much like a...
No.
I'm a team Jess girly who knows her man. Like, stands by her man, but knows who he is.
Wears his sweatshirt.
Yeah.
But we'll call him out. I know. I feel like sometimes I'm the one that's like squealing over Jess a little bit more than you are.
Yeah. Because I'm looking at him being like, why'd you do this? Why'd you make this mistake? You know, looking at it with a more critical eye. But I'm really excited here today to talk about all of the reasons why I love him and why you love him. Because you're Team Jess.
I will be today, but not long term.
Okay.
Because I picked my man a long time ago. But I was joking that I was wearing my Team Logan sweatshirt. But I did not.
I'm glad you did.
I also told you I had props, but I couldn't find them. I was going to like...
You did tell when me we, like, props.
When we got into like the core of the conversation, I was going to put my leather jacket on, but I can't find it. And I was like, okay, I'll just wear my denim jacket. Couldn't find it. And it's like, why is the universe... It's actually probably past me who like didn't put it away properly. Like working against
me. We can blame
right
it on the universe.
Just a, yeah, we can. Because it was definitely past me, but it was the universe for sure.
Yeah.
I was going to like have a prop moment, but alas, I don't have any props.
I'm so sorry. I just wore
black, like his heart.
Yeah, I wore my Team Jess sweatshirt. I was going to wear my pink. I have this really cute pink Ooh La La sweatshirt that I got over Christmas. I'm going to wear it next week for Logan. Because like I have like la cutie la vibes for Logan. They're little Ooh La La vibes, but they're not like I'm on your team vibes.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, you know what we mentioned in the last episode is that we were going to have rules for every episode and we're going to make them up on the spot. What's today's rule?
We can talk shit about Dean.
Just like a reverse. No, it has to be. It has to be a Jess love episode.
Well, we can't talk shit about Jess.
No, we can't.
Like, I can't get critical here in the way that I normally am because I feel like I usually play devil's advocate with the things that I love about Jess. Yeah. I always say I love Jess because there are so many people who, despite the fact that I think a lot of the fandom kind of grew up being Team Jess, like a lot of us were. I feel like being Team Jess is very popular.
It is very popular. A lot of the authors that I talk to, like usually are Team Jess.
Exactly. I feel like it was very on brand for a lot of people to be Team Jess, especially if you watch the early seasons because...
Yeah.
Hard not to be. But I think that especially with the rise of social media and TikTok and people talking about it, at least I found this a lot on my TikTok, there were so many people in the comments being like, how can you be Team Jess because of X, Y, and Z thing that he did? And I get it. Like, I get it. I get where people are coming from. So I feel like I always have to justify all the things I love about him by then criticizing him and being like, no, I know that like in context there were bad things that happened, but here are the things that I love about him. You know what I mean?
It's almost like you're putting a wall up around how much you love him. You're like, no. I don't like him as well, but I also love him. So don't come into like the gooey center. I'm going to like push you all out and agree with you.
Yeah.
So that none of you like storm the castle.
Yeah. Stay outside the Tootsie Pop, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's actually not that creamy of a center. Thinking more like a Lindor.
You were thinking, yeah, like a Lindor chocolate. I get that. All right.
Yeah.
We can keep it a Lindor chocolate. But yeah, I'm excited to really just zero in on the ooey gooey love of it
him.
All. Yeah.
So maybe it's just like the advocate for the devil will just not be in this episode.
Yeah, that's the rule.
Yeah. You can't counter anything. Which I think is kind of what the you can't say anything bad about Dean, but that one was more like specific because we say a lot of bad things about him, which I loved the comments on that post from a couple weeks ago.
Oh, at this point. My God. So at this point, we just posted this episode 2 days ago because we wanted to let the Dean episode marinate before we recorded the Jess episode.
Just to see what you guys thought.
Yeah. We wanted to know what else you guys wanted to hear us talk about. We added a category to Jess's, which I'm very excited about. Well, we added two.
Two categories, yeah.
And that was part of the reason why we let it sit for a second was because before recording, because we didn't want to jump the gun. We wanted to see how you guys reacted. And boy, did you react.
Oh, so much reaction.
Do you know how many people thought that like all of a sudden we were both just like all of our thoughts, feelings and ideas from the last 2 years just went out the window? And not that they haven't changed.
No, but it felt like our besties didn't know us anymore.
Hello? You met me? I should have worn my anti-Dean queen baseball hat.
Yeah, you really should have. But that would have gotten you like continuous point every time the camera flipped to you on YouTube.
It's true. We actually did pretty well. But I think maybe the rule is in this episode, no talking about Logan. And in the next episode, no talking about Jess.
Okay. Does all the time that I count talked about him before?
No, we just made the rule.
Okay. Okay. You're right. You're right. Because I did already bring up his name a lot, but it was also in relation to the merch.
Yes. Yes. We established rules with Dean that like we had already broken prior to establishing it. And I remember you giving me the permission. Like, it's okay.
Okay.
This just happened. So yeah, I think maybe that's the rule. Because someone said that they wanted the rule to be in the next two episodes that we had to say only bad things about Jess and Logan, respectively, because we said only good things about Dean in the last episode. I thought that was so funny.
That's great. It does miss the point of what we're trying to do. Unfortunately,
not the point of the episode. The point of the episode.
That would be fun, though, to like have a month of like the best of Dean and then the worst of the ones that we love.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be hard.
That would be tough. Well, I don't think it'd be so tough for me.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be tough for me either, but it's just like emotionally, like, I don't want to do that. As Selena Gomez said, I mean, I could, but why would I want to?
And on that note, let's talk about Jess.
Let's talk about Jess.
So what we started with in our Dean episode was establishing love languages. And I'm really curious to hear what you think Jess's love languages are.
I'm also curious to hear what I think Jess's love languages are, because
it's going to be a surprise to all of us.
Because I put, like, can Jess receive love?
I know.
Like, I truly was like, I don't know.
I don't know what they are. He is the hardest person to figure out love languages because yes. I feel like we just don't see as many, like, we don't see as many moments as we did with the other two. With Jess and Maury's relationship, we don't see it play out unless it's kind of the frictiony stuff.
Yeah.
The conflict.
It's not a lot of love. And it's hard to see moments where he like accepts it.
Yeah.
I think that he gives love through acts of service. Like when he fixes the toaster for Luke.
Yeah.
Or when he brings food over for Rory in one of your favorite episodes. Mm-hmm. And there's the rub. And when he like unlocks the door for Louis, is it Louis? And Dead Uncles
for
and Louis
Wake, yeah.
Yeah. He said, I just unlocked the door. They did this all. But yeah. She is like, you love this town. So I think that there's like an element of like acts of service that he shows love in. But I don't know that he receives love.
Mm.
I think his walls are too high. But like I like genuinely couldn't figure it out. It was like, maybe it's words, but I don't think he accepts words.
That's the thing, is that words was the first thing that came to mind because I kept thinking about the scene in Teach Me Tonight where they're in the car and Rory is like, you can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do. And he totally deflects it. He's like, so Courtney, what about you? And like, you know, doesn't really take it in. But I wonder if he kind of needs that. I guess that's not something that he really absorbs. He doesn't absorb it from Luke. So no,
he also doesn't get it a lot. Like I couldn't think of another instance in which he had been.
Yeah, words don't really work like on him.
Maybe in episode 8, season 6, Balika's like when she's like, you wrote a book.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's more of like a literal fact, Rory.
Yeah. it's definitely a literal fact. The one thing that I can't ignore is that I do feel like Jess is a physical touch.
Yes, because giver. The only person that he, I don't like anyone else. I don't want to talk to anyone else. He really only is around Rory.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not until they're together.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Of course. But I'd say like acts of service, physical touch are kind of his two, depending on how giving and receiving, I don't know which situation you're in with Jess, but acts of service and physical touch, I feel are the two.
That feels like that makes so much sense for a broken man to like give and receive in that way. Cause it's almost like he's probably been in a lot of relationships like with Shane where all they did was make out.
Literally, it was just physical touch.
He really only knows how to do that.
He didn't even know her last name.
Shane, my cotton candy princess. and with acts of service, like giving it, he maybe like recognizes he's not going to receive love that way. So he like offers it in that regard because maybe he wants it.
I don't know.
Deep. Deep. But yeah, I literally just put cannot receive love question mark.
It was really hard to figure this one out. I think the other two are much easier to figure out.
Yeah.
Jess is a conundrum.
He is that man.
But
little conundrum Jess.
Yeah.
Interested to know what y'all think about that.
I would really love to know what everybody else thinks about that.
Yeah. Because he couldn't decide.
I guess you could throw quality time in there. You could argue that him showing up for There's the Rub, him, you know, kind of finagling his way. This was really orchestrated by Luke, the tutoring and the going to get ice cream and cones. Like, that's quality time.
It's like, it's hard because, like, he only wants to spend time with Rory.
Yeah.
But it's more of like he's, like, forcing his way into it, which is, like, maybe that's why, because he wants to spend time with her.
Yeah. I guess you could also say words of affirmation is what he grows into love language-wise in the revival.
Yeah.
As far as the way he gives love.
I could have been a contender, and he says, you're still a contender.
Yeah, the whole conversation he has with her at the Stars Hollow Gazette, and then the conversation he has with Luke in the diner about Lorelai.
Yeah.
He's a conversationalist now. He's using his words. Yeah. We love him. We love a king who goes through growth. Oh, we love growth. Anyway.
Love a man who uses his words.
Yeah, but he's tricky. He's not as cut and dry as the other two.
Yeah. Slippery little guy, that one.
Slippery little bean. So where do you want to start?
I have hug next, because I did hug, kiss, date, because that feels like, for some reason, those, like, happen in that order.
Great.
I guess a kiss could happen after a date, but hug.
All right, let's go with hug. I feel like it has to be. You looked it up. I literally wrote it in all caps. You looked it up. Oh, yeah. I love that hug so much between the two of them.
Over to her.
And kisses her on the forehead. He puts his arm around her.
Yeah. If you don't remember, this is from Happy Birthday Baby when they're outside of the record store.
If you don't remember, you have never seen this show. You do not remember when he looks up how far Stars Hollow is from Yale.
How far is it?
22.8 miles.
And then it's like, that's not very far.
No, it's not. It really isn't.
Yeah. It might be a little bit further in Jess's car.
Maybe. Seems
like it won't go as fast.
Who's to say?
But it's that hug. It's the walking down the side of the sidewalk. That's the one.
That's the one. I couldn't really think of any other times that they necessarily hug. Because even when they were friends. Which doesn't mean that they didn't. No, it doesn't. We learned with Dean. It doesn't mean they didn't.
As our editor was editing the episode where we said they don't hug, she was sending us pictures of them hugging.
Yeah. A lot of people sent us the hug in Lazy, Hazy, Crazy Days of Summer when she returns from Washington and they hug and she's staring at Jess making out with Shane. The thing is, though, that wouldn't have been a greatest hit for me. That wouldn't have been best of Dean and Rory's hugs. Why did I say his name? I talked about him.
I already said it, too. It would have been a greatest hit for the D word. I also don't like that either.
The rule boyfriend. Really was that we couldn't talk about the one.
I kind of like this point, though, where we can't say their name.
Yeah, we're not allowed to say their name. It's like not saying E's.
Yeah. That was my little suggestion for the L episode. But I felt like that would be way too hard.
That would be really tough.
Yeah.
That would be a long episode.
We could say his name.
We could.
Yeah.
It's true. Anyway.
Yes.
You looked it up. It, for me, is like quintessential hug, even if they have other hugs.
Yeah.
Because I feel like whenever they show affection towards each other, Rory and Jess, when they're dating, it's kissing.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like, let's hug.
Yeah.
But again, correct me if I'm wrong. And I know you will.
Of course. It also doesn't feel like Jess, for some reason, I was like, I can't say his name. Yes, I can say his name.
You can say his name.
That he is not like a comforter.
Yeah.
And that he immediately was like, duvet cover entered my mind. But he doesn't comfort. And I feel like that's kind of what a hug does in a relationship. That it's like when you see them, quick little kiss, as he does. But I feel like Rory doesn't seek him out in like comforting situations. Because I can think of instances in her next relationship where she does. And in that one, it feels like... Or, like, it feels like when you're in a relationship and you say hi, it's like a quick little kiss. Yeah. Like, it's not always that you're, like, gonna, like, give, like, a huge hug in that regard. But, like, she also is not seeking Jess out in comforting situations or, like, in hard situations.
Yeah. No, that's totally true. I think if we took it out of the context of Rory, we could argue that, like, one of Jess's best hugs is with Luke.
Aww.
The one in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Okay. Because some of my other ones are not Rory related.
Yeah, me too.
But that's a good hug. Such he also hugs hug. Him in the revival.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
So good. But if we wanted to take it out of the context of Rory.
Yeah.
Because I know we didn't really set rules in that regard. But yeah. Jess's other relationship that is so paramount in this series, of course, is with Luke. And so we have some categories that fall into.
Cute. Yeah. His best hug is with Luke.
That's a great hug. But adorable. I don't know. They stand in different categories for me.
What?
You looked it up and
oh,
I mean,
for sure.
They
for
stand sure, alone next to each other.
Yeah.
As far as great hugs.
Yeah. They're just standing next to each other like those emojis with their arms just like stuck down.
Exactly.
Exactly. What it is. Okay. The next one then is kiss. And we know this one does not have a Luke option.
That we know of. I feel like I've shared this before. The Suki's Mine's wedding the kiss one. Is yep. the best one. I'm surprised. I wasn't sure if you were going to pick the one outside of Gypsies.
You know, I thought about it a lot. I listened to And Then She Appears, and Girl from Mars, like, I was doing my makeup for this, like, oh, you know, getting
in the Jess Mariotto spirit. Vibes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought about it. I even went back and watched it. But I think there's just something so – I even think on Patreon I went with the Gypsy one.
Yeah.
But – I think there's just something so, like, monumental. Like, it's such, like, a change in the show when yeah. they kiss that, like, it's so, like, in terms of kisses, the second one is a better kiss. Like, the build-up to it, like, she's going to meet him, kid code, putting the cigarette away. Like, the whole setup is just
gorgeous.
Way more romantic and yeah. just, like, a good moment. But it's because they're together.
Yeah.
But that first kiss is, like, oh my God. It's so short. He doesn't even really have that much time to like react to it. But that's the one.
That's the one.
In the context, it's not great.
It's not. However.
Also in the context, it is great.
It's great. Because the thing is that we've been waiting for this. They've been waiting yeah. for this. And so for it to happen so spontaneously and just because he said, I moved back. What? I moved back. Why? Just wanted to. Bam. Like, oh, it's – you all know. Me under the covers at the age of 14 watching it on my portable DVD player at 4 in the morning over and over and over and over again. I just – I love it. It's unmatched for me. Unmatched.
It has to be. Yeah. I mean, I really like that Gypsy kiss, but
– And I think one. As far as first kisses go with each of the boyfriends, for me, that's also the best one.
I think so too.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, I think we talked about this that I'm trying to decide if I want to talk about it. The one that happens with the boyfriend that I like, I think that he messes it up.
Yeah. It's because of the chapter of her life that she's in, which we can yeah. talk about. We can talk about in the next episode if we want, or maybe some
other time. Maybe this summer.
Maybe a different episode. When we get there. Exactly. That's true. We could definitely do that. But yeah, Suki's wedding kiss with Jess and Rory is by far one of the best kisses in this show. And also for me, yeah. my favorite kiss between the two of them.
I love it. So oh my good. Gosh.
Followed closely by Gypsies. Love that kiss
yes.
too.
Is there another one that like stands out like that?
When they kiss outside of Luke's diner in Swan Song after he apologizes for the fight that they got into and everything. I have feelings about the circumstances surrounding it, but that's a pretty intense kiss.
Yeah.
And when they're making out through town. In the snow.
Had to. Classic.
Classic.
Get hit by a car.
Yep. Haley, I feel like most of our followers already know that we don't really drink alcohol, but we do love a fun beverage.
Oh, we do. Both of us think a fun beverage and a chill night is the epitome of a good time, especially when that drink is a recess mood, which is a delicious sparkling water infused with functional ingredients like mood-lifting magnesium and stress-balancing adaptogens, so you can relax without the alcohol. I drink mine every night while reading, of course. Tara, tell everyone how you enjoy yours.
Honestly, I usually drink mine while we're recording the podcast. It's my favorite way to enjoy a recess.
And all of our besties can get 15% off the Recess Mood Sampler Pack at takearecess.com/GTS.
Recess Mood is made with real fruit and comes in 4 delicious flavors like strawberry rose and raspberry lemon. But my personal favorite is the grapefruit tangerine. And with only 20 calories and no added sugar, it's the perfect way to chill.
You deserve a healthier way to unwind. Head to takearecess.com/GTS and get 15% off Recess Mood, your go-to alcohol replacement. Speaking of cars, their best date. I don't know why I was speaking of cars, but.
Well, that was speaking of another, I guess, another car related date.
Yeah.
Controversial, maybe. A tisket a tasket.
That's what I said. Is that what you said too?
Yeah. I wasn't sure if when you said car that you were going to say the date after he picks her up from the hockey game because he had his car. Or the one where they go get ice cream.
Yeah. It's not that I'm going to say something bad, but I might. I don't like that date. It's like the same reason when he brings the tickets to the, who are they going to see?
The distillers.
The distillers.
Yeah.
To distill it down, it's exactly what Lorelai says, sitting around waiting for your boyfriend to show up. And then when he shows up, you're all forgiven.
Yeah, totally. So. Totally. I hear that.
And I know it's not technically a date, like a date, but like.
But it's a date.
It's a date. That's the whole point. It's a date. They have a little picnic together.
It's the best.
And they go to the lake. Someone did say best Jess Lake moment, but I think that we touch on all of the best ones.
So funny. Because you could argue that it's like this.
Yeah.
I do love the moment after the dance marathon. Great lake moment.
Well, see, there's so many, but I think that I answer all of them to all of my favorite lake moments. In all of the other ones.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
So that's why I didn't like put it as its own category because it would have felt repetitive, I think. But that was, I really liked that one. Love. That was like a good suggestion. Yeah. But we get it. We touch on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just something about them sitting there, just chatting. Has one of my favorite lines, which we'll get to when we get to quotes.
I can't wait.
It's a good look too. It wasn't my favorite look, but like.
It was one of my favorite looks.
It was iconic Jess look.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Iconic.
Dean's an idiot.
Dean's an idiot. Dean never would have fallen for that.
I just got a point. You just got 2 points, but.
Hey.
Hey. Hi. But.
Does it count if we're quoting him?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for establishing.
Just saying it. But yeah, I love that one. I feel me like too. People might argue against us with that, but there's not a lot of dates that they go on, like what you were talking about. Like they don't show a lot of their like relationship taking place. It's like the lead up, the build up, the controversy, and then like the hurt feelings and petering the
fall out. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we don't really get a lot of dates. And this, I would argue, was their first date.
Yeah.
And one of their only.
That we see, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because we could say in cones was also a date.
Totally. Totally.
That felt manipulated into. And to be fair, so was the basket one. But we love a schemer.
We love a schemer
and a dreamer.
That's true. I have more to say on that later.
Yes. Okay. The next one is romantic gesture / grand gesture. And I don't know that we have the same one for this one.
Okay. What's yours?
Mine is that he turns the sprinkler back on after he turned it off.
Great answer. Because he finds
out that D word is coming over.
Great answer. I love that.
It's so small, but it's like, I know what this means to you, and I'm going to just let you continue to soak here in your decisions.
Yep.
Because I'm going to scram.
I love it. Great answer. Yeah. Controversially, mine is actually the distiller tickets. Even though really? The circumstances that surround it are not necessarily something that I love, I think the actual act of him finding out, like, oh, she feels like I haven't been showing up. He goes, drives out, waits in line, gets distiller tickets, comes and meets her at the hockey game. I just think that's a bold move from someone who's not used to having to do bold moves to keep someone like Rory around.
Yeah, that like, what is it that I think he says it in Swan Song when he's like, I have you, now I don't have to, like, what's the exact word that he uses?
He says it when she's asking him to go to the Winter Carnival, which I believe is in That'll Do Pig.
Oh, okay. He says, I was thinking when she went to when he went to the grandparents.
Well, he has a conversation with Luke about it, speaking of the lake. He has a conversation with Luke about it where he's like, you can't just, like, do nothing now, like, This girl comes with the bells and whistles and you have to play along kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But what he says to her in That'll Do Pig, because she's asking him to come to the Winter Carnival, he's like, I don't really do the town event thing. She's like, you went to the Bit of Basket, you went to the dance marathon. He said, that's what I was trying to get you. I now have you.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking about, is that like, it doesn't feel like he's like had to like try to like continue to woo her, if you will, and like continue to show up for her. Now he's like, you've got me. That's kind of what it feels like. And feels like it, that's the end of it, which is not the case. But I do agree, the like act of like in Jess's mind being like, oh, okay, I'm gonna go through all these steps to show up for her, while we know that like we're like, Jess, it's a little too late, but at the same time I do love it.
I think the act of it, again, if we're just isolating acts, which we did in the last episode, I just think it's a beautiful gesture.
Yeah, I think so too, because he doesn't do that for people.
No.
And I love it. I have another one that I want to mention, which is reading the self-help book specifically for her. Like, basically Luke like shoves it at him, but like he's reading it all over town, just like pretending to read other things, and with the intention of like, he knows why. Yeah. He like sees that and he's like,
yeah,
I'm gonna try and show up for her, which that's a grand gesture.
I mean,
run away.
But I was going to say the follow up to that of him being like, run away with me. Let's go. Your bags are packed.
Yeah.
And I guess you could argue that the ultimate grand gesture was him coming back to Stars Hollow at the end of season two. I moved back.
Yeah.
He moved also back for her.
He totally did.
Yeah. Fully. He didn't move back for himself or even for Luke. He moved back for her.
Yeah. I agree.
That's pretty grand.
That is. But I really think another grand gesture, which is a small gesture, I feel like Jess makes grand gestures small grand gestures, mm-hmm. is coming back to give her the book.
Yeah, the book, that is a grand gesture. Well,
And being like, you, like, I couldn't have done this without you.
Sure. I don't know if that was for her. I don't know.
You don't think he brought the book, you think he was for him?
I think it was him proving himself to her, to Luke, to whoever, to himself, that he like did something, he made something of himself.
I think it was just bringing it to her.
Yeah, of course.
Like, hey.
Yeah,
I did this.
Yeah,
couldn't have done it without you.
Yeah, that's true. But isolating it to like their relationship, or you know, the lead up to their relationship, I'd say the distiller tickets, moving back to Stars Hollow for her, the sprinkler, great example. Yeah. Love it.
Oh, so little, but he knew her. He knew what that meant.
Definitely.
Oh, love it. The next one, little switch, is moment with Lorelai, or interaction with Lorelai.
I had two for this one that kind of exist on two different ends of the spectrum. My favorite moment from the original series is when they're eating the Chinese food in Lost and Found.
That was mine.
I mean,
I knew that was going to be yours.
It's kind of the only one that's positive, right?
Yeah.
Unless you want to consider Lorelai kind of giving the advice to him before he gets the distiller tickets, you know, unless you want to isolate that incident, that's like a pleasantry. But my second one, of course, is In a Year in the Life. That little moment with the blowing of the kiss. Oh,
yeah.
So cute.
Kiss, they're like, they're family now.
They're family.
And she treats him as such.
The hatchet has been married.
She probably kept a map of where she put it.
Yes.
But it's been buried for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's just the Chinese food. It's because they finally are understanding each other. She invites him Sykes, cleaning the gutters. That's the episode where we get the great Lorelai look. Awesome found.
Oh, right? So good. Yeah.
But it just feels like they're understanding each other. And she's really trying.
She's trying. Yeah.
Because Rory asked her to.
Yeah.
And it is a nice moment.
It is a nice moment. And it definitely stands alone, but it's a nice moment.
It stands by itself.
Surely does.
Because they have a lot of other moments, but
they won't be mentioned here.
They're certainly not the best of.
Yeah.
Though there are a lot of moments that I did want to include because like I love them. But I'm like, that's not like speaking favorably to our man Jess.
Okay.
Like, you know, like it's like I love them in the story.
Yeah, conflict wise.
Yeah, but this is the month of love. And we're loving on him. And
we're going to continue to.
That would not be the case.
Yeah.
This next one was very hard. It is an additional category that we did not include with Dean. And that is smirk.
This one was not hard for me.
No, it was hard because there are so many.
Well, there are so many, but like the first one that came to mind and will always be my favorite is in A Disc at a Tasket when he wins the basket. Yep. Classic. That's, yeah, that's you can't one. Beat it. That's the one.
It's also for so long was like the picture.
Oh, when yeah.
We were scrolling through Netflix.
It's on true. When Taylor says to the young hoodlum in the back, that face, oh.
He I love that face. Done. The other one, which actually is my answer for another category, is when he like is standing across the street from the spray paint.
Yes. Great. Also a great look.
And he's just like, and Rory's like, I know.
I know what you did. Yeah. I know totally. What you did. Totally.
Also when he's in the car and he's like keeps looking over at her.
Oh, so cute.
It was hard because there's so many, but A Tisket a Tasket
takes the cake every time.
It's just such a good Jess episode. Like, there's so many moments from that one in particular that, like, you can
just, A Tisket a Tasket is my answer for, like, half of these questions.
Really? Yes. That makes sense. It's one of your faves.
It's one of my fave episodes. It's a great Jess episode. It's, like, right in the peak of their buildup.
Yeah. God, ooh, I'm interested to see if my answers in the next episode, like, correlate to my favorite episodes. Because, like, yeah. I can't tell off the top of my head if they're all going to like come from one.
Well, arguably, you know, Tisket a Tasket is one of my favorite episodes, but There's the Rub is my favorite episode from season two. And not a lot of my moments have come from here.
Really? I have a lot of There's the Rub.
You do?
As we continue on. Yeah. It.
All right. Let's keep going.
Let's keep it going. The next one is quote. And speaking of There's the Rub of A Tisket a Tasket, one of my favorite things he says, it just makes me blush every single time, is when he's, you know what I'm about to say, is, you know, Ernest only has lovely things to say about you. When he says that to her, I'm like.
I know. Literally, internally screaming. What a line. I love that line. He is just, I love that he doesn't like anybody else. He just likes her.
I don't like anyone else. I don't want to talk to anyone else.
I love it.
Maybe it's the other way around. I don't want to talk to anyone else. I don't like anyone else.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. For me, I actually picked one of my favorite, like, just cheeky lines from him is when he says, great, then we can hold hands and skip afterwards. I love that banter between him and Luke so passionately.
Yeah, I put that under the banter section.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's
I put that under the banter section as well.
What a good one. Another one that he, like a classic Jess line, was also from A Tisket a Tasket, which is basket maker.
Guy who didn't bring enough money.
Exactly.
So good.
Someone did ask us to do best quotes that aren't, why did you drop out of Yale? But like when I read that, I was like, I don't think either of us would put that as our favorite.
You know, I know that it's so widely beloved by the fandom.
It's the delivery.
It's iconic. Yeah, it's the delivery. It's all of it. Great line. One of his best. But yeah, not the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah. You know, the delivery that's very similar that I almost like better is when he says, I am not going back to school, which is funny that he then later says, why did you drop out of Yale?
Yeah.
Because he says it's the exact same way.
Yeah.
But he just has that so one many written good down lines. Later. Dean's a jerk.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yes. Dean's an idiot.
Yeah. Oh, there are just so many good things that he says. Like, I know I'm missing them. It beaked me.
He has so many great lines. Like, some of the things that come out of his mouth are just, they're so, so good. But if we sat here, I was going to say we'd be here forever.
Yeah. Just repeating Jess lines back and forth to each other.
Yeah.
The next one is look. As in L-O-O-K.
Yeah, not Luke.
Yeah.
Mine is just classic, and that is the look at the Bracebridge dinner. The Glancebridge dinner, if you will.
The Glancebridge dinner. They're just looking at each other the whole time.
Him looking at her at the end of that episode, and then looking away, and then looking back, like, crush me. Yeah. Like, literally just take me now. Take me now. What?
Crush me. Crush my brain. Yeah. Because I have a crush on you.
Literally.
Yeah, that's a really good look.
What's yours?
Mine are actually two I've already said, which is the way that he looks at her in the car when he's so driving. Good. Like, he can't keep his eyes on the road.
Yeah.
Which, dangerous. And also why Style by Taylor Swift is about him, because
correct.
He can't keep his eyes on the road. And the, like, I did the spray paint. chalk outline. Yeah. Why do I keep saying spray paint? It's the chalk outline. It just like when he's standing across the street and he's just, I love it.
Yeah.
Like it's like, that was one of my favorite Jess moments in the whole series is him just standing there.
I know.
It's great.
He's so cute.
But this one is, doesn't, I mean, it counts because like a lot of the things we're doing is original series, but like we can't, we would be remiss not to mention the look.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the revival. Like God. That's. Like, also crush me.
I know.
Crush me in a different way than the Glansbridge dinner.
Truly. No, but the Glansbridge dinner for me takes the cake every time. When I thought, look, the first thing that popped into my head was him looking over at her.
Yeah.
And the exchange. That's why we called it that.
The Glansbridge dinner. Because they could not stop looking at each other. That's how you know.
I would die if a boy looked at me like that.
Oh, wow. You wouldn't like that.
Yeah. No one would really like that. But I guess I would. At least I get one last great thing before I go.
Wow. That's what we were talking about before we got on.
Yes. Death.
Wow. Dark.
It's a dark day today.
Dark day. We're worth wearing dark clothes. Wow. But moving right along to look.
Yeah.
Why do I keep trying to start look with the W? I don't know, because the W did. It's the W in the episode. Middle.
It's the W in the middle.
L-E-W-K, which starts with an L. Outfit.
So I put a Tisket a Tasket, of course, like classic.
Classic look. This is one of his like most iconic Jess vibes.
I mean, yes. But I cannot ignore the Nick and Nora Sid and Nancy shirt.
Yeah. Dorito body. Like
he literally has a Dorito body.
That's why I literally wrote down. I wrote Dorito body outfit. He is just a triangle with legs.
He really is. That man is so chiseled in that episode. And I'm not saying he necessarily loses it, but he's always slender. Fit.
Yeah.
But he is built in that episode. Yeah. When they introduce him, it's like literally washboard abs. He has like 12 of them. I don't know how.
They gave him like the tightest shirt possible. They gave him Clara's shirt to
and
wear that
thank
day.
You. And thank you. They were doing the Lord's work. But like,
you look great. In a non-objectifying way, you looked great, my love, Ventimiglia.
I'll objectify you. That was a really great shirt. You could see everything.
Well, similarly, my favorite look personally, like my number one, is in 8 o'clock at the Oasis, the sprinkler scene. Like that outfit he's wearing before they get wet, and then like it suddenly somehow he walks to the sprinkler one time and it's drenched.
And all of a sudden he's drenched head to toe.
It's not the drenched part, but it's just like it's such a good color on him. It's the sweater. It's supposed to be fall. But it feels like summer.
Yeah.
Because they're in a sprinkler, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's just such a good look.
It's so good. And it's made even better when he gets drenched from head to toe.
Yes. Because I will say the next category is hair, but that's also one of my favorite hair moments because his hair looks so good before. And then when he gets drenched, it's just like a new look.
It's
a new look
good.
Has arrived. So that's one of my favorite outfits and like the hair transition, outfit transition.
It's so
classic.
Good.
Chef's kiss. My other hair one is in There's the Rub. His hair looks so good. As Jess would say, it's just not bouncing and behaving. It's but in these two episodes, it certainly was bouncing and behaving.
You know, I actually really do like his hair in A Tisket a Tasket.
Yeah.
It's very different. They have it styled differently. It's a little longer.
It's kind of longer.
Yeah.
And but not longer in like end of season four long.
No, I'm not really a fan of that hair, admittedly. No. When he walks Liz down the aisle, not really my fave. Not my fave look from our pal, Jess. I love like short hair Jess. I've mentioned this before. My boyfriend Brett looks a lot like Jess Mariano.
He gives vibes.
He gives Jess Mariano vibes. In like all different ways. He gives Milo Ventimiglia vibes, like in all different senses. Like he has his hair really long right now and kind of looks a lot like adult Jess and like goes through the facial hair phases, which
adult Jess long hair though.
Really?
That's
top
good.
Notch. Top
That's
notch.
A good look.
But I have said this to Brett before that like I teeter between the two. Actually, Nancy and I have had this conversation with him as well that we're like, we love your short hair. But he also looks great with long hair. It's like with someone like Jess / Milo Ventimiglia, like you can't really go wrong.
Yeah. There's no real bad air.
You're a beautiful man. You just
one. Yeah.
You're a beautiful man.
I will say the look through the window, that's also a good look, because I think he's wearing like an olive colored shirt with his like kind of longer hair.
Yeah.
And that's just a really good color. Like if he was going to get his colors done, I bet that one would be in his color wheel.
Yes, it definitely would be. I think so.
Yeah.
Also, like outside of that, I know we're kind of going back to looks for a second. I love his red t-shirt.
I know.
Red t-shirt with the long sleeve t-shirt underneath it. Like, that's also a look that is just classic Jess.
It's and so 2000s, the hair there too.
Is great too. Like, I just love his hair. He's just got a great head of hair.
He does.
The and only they, like, one start... that, like, I don't totally love, which I know this is not the least best.
Not totally love.
Yeah. this is not the episode to not totally love something, but is at the end of season 4.
Yeah.
Because the way it's combed.
Yeah, it feels unstyled, which feels purposeful because he's like seems to be
he's going
lacking
through the
access to
he's going through the disheveled part of his life. Yes.
Yeah. So I get it. I get it, Jess. But not bad look. Just not my favorite.
Correct.
All looks on
the rest of them are my favorite.
Yeah. Every other one.
Yeah.
But yeah, the next one is Luke's diner moment, which we talked about in the last one.
Yeah, I have a couple. At the top for me is in There's the Rub, the umbrella.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
Yeah, that's what I put.
It's so good. It's so classic. And it just makes me laugh every single time.
It's cute.
He doesn't say a word.
It's a little romantic.
Yeah. He doesn't say a word.
Yeah.
Also, it's my favorite episode. So like, oh, so good.
Yeah.
The other one that I love is when, I think it's in Richard and Stars Hollow, when Paris comes to town. And they walk in and he comes from upstairs and Paris is like, what's going on up there? Where did he come from? Is that where you keep all the girls? And he's like, she got you, Uncle Luke. And he's like, a boy like me should not be subjected to an environment like this. I'm trying to be good. Life's just not letting me. I love that moment.
That's what I put next.
That's what you put next. Oh my God.
I literally just wrote, I want to be good.
Life's just not letting me.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So good. And we can't not mention like the other end of like him and Dean at the register, like,
which we mentioned in the last episode, which is so my favorite good. Banter, some of my favorite banter ever.
The other one that I'll add is when he dresses like Luke because he thought it was the uniform.
Whatever you say, Uncle Luke. Luke, just Luke. I love it. So many good moments. I also love the moment where Luke comes back from his date with Nicole. And
oh, yes.
Kirk is in the diner. Jess is still working. And he's like, I'm going to go out for about an hour. And he's like, Luke's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm going to go out for about an hour. Do you need more time? He pulls him outside and Kirk is like, they have amazing communication. I just, love like, that moment him. All around. He hits him and he comes back and he's like, I guess I'm not going out for about an hour. Say goodnight, Jess. It's just, I love it. But like outside of the funny moments and the bantery moments, I wrote this down later. I also really, really love the moment where he comes in to the diner after getting into the fight with TJ at the bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Luke have this moment together and he says, I want to pay you back.
Yeah.
That's also a really great Luke Steiner moment because it's just the two of them. I really, I put that under a different category, which we can talk about later, but
yeah.
I love that moment between the two of them.
Me too. Aw, sweet.
Yeah.
I also just like in the revival later on when he comes in and he's talking to Luke and
so
it just
good.
Seems like they have such a good relationship.
Such a great relationship.
Back there at the diner with him. And
yeah.
I love that.
Me too.
So many, there's so many good ones because he works there and lives there and love it.
I know.
The next one is banter, which like, this one felt like, how long do we have? This felt like same as quotes. Like,
that's the thing is I can't narrow it down. This is one of the characters that is like the epitome of banter on this show.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about in the last episode is like, he kind of has the best banter with every single character.
Everybody, even when it's bad, like even when the context is bad, like him and Lorelai in their moments, like the banter is still so good. His banter with Luke is amazing. Great. Let's hold hands and skip afterwards. I mean, like,
that was one of the ones I put.
How and then you like deny the. It?
What is it that he says in Lost and Found of like, I came down like Santa Claus?
No, I pulled a Santa Claus and came down the chimney.
Yeah, that's like another great one. Or getting a little too West Side Story for me.
Oh, he outside of There's the West Rub. Side Story. He loves. But I also love the banter in A Tisket a Tasket basket, yeah. basket maker, guy who didn't bring enough money. Like, it's just the whole back and forth bounce between Dean, Jess, Rory, Dean, Jess, Rory. It's so good.
Yeah. Also, when, like, he is new in Stars Hollow and they're up in the apartment and, like, him and Luke talking, like.
Yes.
There's just so many. It's like, what is it about us t-shirts hanging next to each other?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, there's just so many good. It's hard to narrow it down.
Really
to,
like, narrow it down.
One.
Yeah.
But, like, another one is, like, the when Paris comes in and I just want to be good. Life's not letting me.
So funny.
So good. So many of his best lines are involved in, like, a very bantery moment, which yeah. make them so good.
I know. So.
Just love.
Yeah, me too.
The next one, green flags.
I think the biggest green flag about Jess, and I've talked about this a lot on this podcast, on my TikTok, is that there are two instances where we see him and Rory kind of have a little bit of conflict where she didn't tell him something when they're dating. And yes. he finds out either by circumstance or from a telephone pole, and he confronts her about it. And he's like, so when were you going to tell me that you were hanging out with Dean? And she's like, I was going to tell you, but I didn't because of XYZ reason. Are you mad? And he's like, no, just tell me next time. That to yeah. me is such a green flag, especially given the relationship that Rory had just come out of, where even telling him things was hard. And telling and the aftermath of not telling that person something resulted in a lot of screaming and yelling and fighting. And yeah. I think that with Jess, he gives her permission, like, just tell me next time. Just tell me.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
I think it's good. I wouldn't go as far as to say Jess has good communication, because there is a little bit like nephew, like uncle, where it's like, just tell me, but I will not tell you.
Yeah.
So, like, there is that level of it a little bit, but, like, definitely, like, if we're isolating it, that happens a lot, where it's like Rory thinks he's going to be mad and he's not. Like the tux situation where he's just like, James Bond wore a tux. So it's like, I think that there's some. Is that, or is that for Dean that they say James Bond wore tux? Is that the Jess moment?
That's Jess. He goes, tuxes are also very James Bond. That's not geeky.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes. And so I think
he makes the most of those situations with Rory when he knows that it means something to her.
Yeah. Yeah. But I wouldn't go as far as to say he has good communication, but he is open to not being mad at situations that he might find unfavorable.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Which I think is a good way to be in a relationship.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. I wouldn't go as far as to say that he has great communication. At least yeah. during the period of time when he is dating Rory.
Yeah.
I think later in a year in the life, I think all signs point to he's a much better communicator now.
Yeah. Especially because he wrote a book. He can communicate via word.
But just his conversations with Luke, the conversation he has with Rory, I think that he is a much stronger communicator. And I, of course, wish that he had had some of that in his, you know, relationship with Rory, but he was young.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, strong communicator could be the entire, like, conceit of season 6, episode 8.
Correct.
Like, why did you drop out of Yale? That's straight and to the point.
Yeah.
But mine were growth and that, yeah. like, he is kind of a shitty kid, and what we see from him in the later seasons, at least not 4, but like 6 in the revival, is that, like, he's paying Luke back.
Yep.
He's, like, showing up for him first.
Yep.
And then later on in the revival, when he's there in Stars Hollow, he's showing up for his mom and TJ.
Yes.
Because they joined a cult. And so it yes. seems like he is really connected to his family at that point, who he, like, didn't want to have anything to do with. But he shows up, he comes back for Luke, and he's hanging around, and it's not all for Rory. It's kind of just incidental that he ends up showing up in the Stars Hollow Gazette with her.
Yeah.
And I like that about him, that he, you know, I have mentioned before that, like, we don't know what happened in the in-between.
We don't.
Of what we see, he really has, like, grown into a new person.
So
and
much
I think
growth.
that is really the greenest of flags, is that you can let go of who you were before and become someone entirely different.
Totally.
Who is equally as hot as you used to be.
Trust. No, that's totally true. And you know that that's one of the major reasons why my love for him has stood the test of time.
Yes.
Because his growth is just unbelievable. And I maintain that he is one of the strongest character arcs of the entire series.
Yeah. Honestly, he's really one of the only like love interests that really stands the test of time when we get to the revival.
Yeah, it's true.
No one else, everyone else kind of falls off a little bit.
Boy, do they.
A lot of it, depending on who you are.
Uh-huh. It's true.
I won't say his name. But it would be interesting that I would be saying his name in a negative context.
That's true.
As opposed to a positive.
People would love that.
They certainly would. But speaking of people.
Yeah, speaking of people. That's the segue.
The next one is, I'm like not very good with these segues, that's but right. Luke is a people.
He
and
is.
That is the next one, is Luke Moleman.
I have two different answers for this that exist at both ends of the spectrum.
Okay.
You know I love this moment. I wonder if you put this one too. I am not going back to school.
I love that. I didn't put that, but that, I love that.
I love that. That entire fight between the two of them is so gorgeous.
Yeah.
And a testament to Scott and Milo's chemistry, just the chemistry of these two characters that they built. So good.
So well together.
And then on the other end of it is him in Philadelphia with Luke, giving him the money back, that hug that they share. It's just
so good.
Like, started from the bottom.
Now we're here.
Now we're here.
There's so many good ones between them. And those are like two really good ends of the spectrum. Cause like the only person that really ever shows up for Luke is, I mean, rather the only person that ever really shows up for Jess is Luke.
It's true.
And so there's so many moments that like you could think of that we're in the middle of season four on Patreon right now. So yeah. Like when Luke leaves Jess the money, and like that's really more of a Luke moment, but like, I really like the honesty moment, which is when I said I was Team Luke, in the hallway when he's kind of telling him how it is and how he is. I really love that.
And you said, like, you were Team Jess.
Did I say Team Luke?
You did.
I truly can't say any of the right names.
It's okay.
The day that I get through an episode where I said all of the right names where I meant to, like,
we're going to send you something.
What a day. We're going to pop poppers.
We're going to pop poppers, yeah.
The confetti poppers.
Yeah, the confetti poppers. I'm with you.
Exactly. That's, you know, I had to do the hands to show you. Exactly. But my favorite moment is after the car crash when he goes to find Jess and he says, I made sure she was okay. And he says, I know you did.
Oh.
That moment is just like, there is something else about that. Like, because I wanted to touch on all my favorite Lake moments. And that one
is like, definitely one of them.
Definitely one of them.
So good. But, like, the way that Luke comes to his defense, I just, that's more of a Luke moment. But yeah, it's so good. I also love, speaking of the lake, when they're in the canoe looking for the swan.
Or when he pushes him in.
Or when he pushes him in. Also a good one. So good.
That's really Luke and Jess's lake.
Yeah, it really is. It totally is.
It belongs to the two of them.
But to kind of bring it home, I'm curious what your best of Jess apology is.
See, this is what we talked about in the last episode that we were like,
Yeah.
But I don't think it's an apology so much as like a thank you that feels like an apology, but I put in the real Paulinka when they're in Philadelphia.
I put him coming into the diner after TJ's bachelor party and them sitting down having this conversation and him saying, I want to pay you back. It's an apology without being an apology. It's an apology for everything that's happened leading up to that. But also when this happens in season four, this is towards the end of season four. We haven't gotten there on Patreon yet, but we did just get to the episode where, like you said, they have this conversation in the hallway where Jess lays into him about how, you know, Luke is always trying to fix people, even when they don't want his help. He like kind of inserts himself into this situation and he really, really, really lays into him. And I think that's also an apology in a sense, is that he is coming back in after Luke has kind of grabbed him from New York, said, come here, show up for your mom. And he realizes, I'm here because of you. That's the whole reason I'm here. And it's an apology without being an apology. That is the start of them rebuilding their relationship.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can do that without an apology. And even if the words, I'm sorry, didn't come out of his mouth, that was the apology.
Yeah. And I feel like that was the
acceptance of, I've done something wrong.
I can't remember a time when he like actually apologizes.
Yeah.
Like he says the words, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Because I was kind of trying to think of when he does that with Rory, and we don't get that.
Yeah.
We don't get that. Because even when he comes back at the end of season four in the midst of all of this and he's like, come away with me, let's go. I know you couldn't rely on me before, but I'm ready now.
Yeah.
I think in a sense, he's trying to like plead with her saying like, I'm better, I'm better, I'm better. But he never apologized for the way he left her. Even when he says, I love you at the Firelight Festival, that's not an apology.
Yeah.
It seems like he's the kind of person that apologizes without saying, I'm sorry. He apologizes through growth and change seemingly growing and changing instead of actually saying the words, I'm sorry, because kind of bringing it back to the love language of it all. I don't think words are his love language in that moment. As a receiver, or necessarily putting weight behind them, because I think that his entire life he's grown up around people who are words, 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 no follow through.
Yeah. And I think that there's like two ends of it. I think that someone who says, I'm sorry, and that's it, that doesn't really feel like a full apology.
Exactly.
Like, the behavior isn't changing, you're not doing anything with it. But then, like, changing without acknowledging it, I think kind of is not fully it either. Like, I need you to recognize that there was something that hurt between us.
Yeah, there has to be a balance, right? Like, what is an apology without changed behavior? And for Jess, I do feel like his apology is changed behavior, but it's still not an apology. It is in a sense, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
I think I would rather that than an I'm sorry that didn't mean anything.
Than an empty apology, of course. I would always prefer that. But
there
is something to be said about someone who owns their mistakes through apologizing and just saying the words. But it has to be accompanied by changed behavior. And that's something that I, speaking to his growth, like you said, his green flag, I think he did beautifully. But
yeah,
of course it would have been lovely to hear him say he was sorry. I don't think Amy is like that, though.
No.
There aren't a ton of apologies on this show.
There aren't.
If you've noticed. We're going to have to do an episode about that. Apologies that aren't apologies. No, but like the way that they resolve conflict without an apology.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of people who say I'm sorry. I can think of an instance in the next episode that I will
examine. I know exactly what you're talking about.
But do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
We'll see. We will see then.
We'll see.
But yeah, no, I agree that like he doesn't say it, but he
means it.
He means it.
Yeah.
And it takes him a while to get there, but he got there.
Yeah.
And I think it has to do with Luke.
Totally.
Love it. There is like the essence of an apology, or it feels like a camaraderie with Rory in Real Paulinka when they kiss and he's like, what is this? And he says, you can tell him that we did something. And it seems like it is what it is, you and me, you, me, he says. And I think that there's like a sense there that like this is the end of this, but like I'll still be on your team. I'll still be on your side.
Yeah.
Even if you are using it to hurt someone else.
Well, you know whose team I will always be on.
Yes. It says it right there on her sweatshirt.
It does. And I'm glad we were able to talk about him with love. And ooey gooey feelings today.
There was like a little bit of
devil's advocate
criticism.
Well, you know,
it's hard not to.
It's really hard not to. It really, really is because like, you know, we can isolate things as much as we want to, but that's the beauty of this show is that it always comes with a little caveat.
And that's the thing is like, it's good. It's good to have it. And I think that with the last episode, like we really needed like a full on like this is everything we love about him because like I don't
know if we're
going to mention it again.
Yeah. No, we needed really, really strict rules in the last one.
Yeah.
But I do think that part of loving anybody also comes with a little bit of criticism and holding them accountable. So it's okay.
Yeah.
I give us a pass. Yeah. I don't know if the rest of you will, but I do.
Yeah. But it's he is also fictional.
He is also a fictional
but I feel like we gave him plenty of love. We
gave
love to the sprinkler scene.
Yes.
We like paid a big toast to Atiska Tasket. There's just so many moments. And there's so many moments that like I'm sitting here thinking about. I'm like, oh, there's so many things that like good moments of like interactions with other characters, like with Paris and
oh my God. One of my favorite relationships that never was Jess and Paris.
The podcast that could have been.
The podcast that genuinely, like the duo that could have taken over the world.
Yeah. Ooh, talk about, that was something, that was the Dean quote that I had, is like, she could fix the world.
Yeah. Paris and Jess could have fixed the world if they teamed up.
2024, Geller Mariano.
I'd vote for him.
That would be wild.
It would be. It would be insane. It would be absolutely unhinged.
The U.S. would, I don't know how, I actually don't know how that would go over.
Not sure either, but would love to find out. Would love to get a big old bowl of popcorn and find out.
Yeah. Yeah. At this point, I just want to know.
So our next episode, of course, is going to be about the big L word.
Yeah. Logan.
Yes. You can say it.
I can say it. I'll even get the point. Yeah. I'm really excited about it because I feel like I was made for this episode.
Yeah. You were definitely built, created for this episode.
Yeah. Because these episodes actually came about, we had like talked about wanting to have like, you know, like a full on love fest in each episode for each of them, each of the boyfriends, if you will. But after our Logan episode, someone was like, just talk about all the good things. Like, don't compare him to anything. Don't do any of that.
What we did for the Logan episode, and it wasn't that long ago.
It was a lot of comparing him to Chris. Yes, and talking about a lot of the parallels and that sort of thing and his storyline.
You're right.
But someone was like, just talk about the good things. And I was like, say less. We'll make it fair. We'll do it for all of them.
Yeah.
But I am ready.
I'm excited. And you know I love him. I have a lot of love for him. I'll wear my Ooh La La sweatshirt.
Yeah. I am going to wear my team Logan sweatshirt.
Perfect.
I did wear all day yesterday and the day before.
It's really great. Not to toot our own horns, because we also didn't like physically make these. It's not like I, you know, sat down and stitched this together or anything. But
could you imagine?
Yes.
Tara handmade every single one of them.
Oh my God. But I love our new Comfort Colors merch. We are actually going to be moving forward using the supplier, because in the past we've had different merch, and we're actually going to be putting most of our merch on these sweatshirts because they're so nice, so relaxed, so fun.
So comfortable.
So comfy. Like,
they just wash so well. It already feels like your favorite sweatshirt.
Exactly.
Which it kind of is at this point.
It is. But yeah. It's really
great. I'll be wearing my Team Logan sweatshirt because I feel like I am Team Logan to my core. It's in my DNA at this point.
And we'll have more to say on that in the next episode.
Yay!